Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
And we're Coney alive for the Built for Tough Studio. Boomer Esiason, Greg Giannotti. It's Boomer and Gio on the Fan, simulcast across the country on CBS Sports Network. And wherever you are on the Odyssey app, good Thursday morning. Boomer's still out this week. These days that I had off, both baseball teams were horrendous. But last night, we got some good feelings back for both of them. Good morning, Jerry. How are you?
Gee, what's up, man? Good week?
Yes, it's been good. It has been good. Yesterday, I didn't do a damn thing, but that's sort of what you want to do on vacation. Sit around, hang out, recharge, and get ready for these games that last night were really important for both teams. I mean, I know it's still a month and a half to go, and we have this roller coaster constantly in the baseball season where we overrate things, we overreact to things, but I don't think that going into last night for the Yankees and Mets, we were overreacting into how important these games were. And the Mets get off to a great start. The Beatty story is awesome. They hang on. But the Yankees, in several different ways last night, were torturing their fans.
Oh.
Torturing their fans and somehow end up coming out with a victory with the Donaldson Grand Slam. But, I mean, looking at Twitter, there's a Yankee fan group text that I'm on that these fans always screaming about everything. When they're down 4-0, then obviously when they're down in the top of the 10th, it was full on. It's the worst that I have heard, the downest I have heard the Yankee fan in probably 10 years.
And how couldn't it be?
Yeah.
Not for nothing, but we sat here all week and just, you know, the nothingness of the Yankee offense and just getting shut out. One run, no hits, not no hits, but two hits here, three hits there. They look like a lousy baseball team. And then last night, they had that one stretch, right, where it was it five strikeouts in a row, six strikeouts? It's like, what in the hell is this team doing? And boy, you know, Josh Donaldson didn't crush it to left. He sends it to right. But my God, if he doesn't hit that home run last night and they find a way to lose that game again, I don't even know what we're doing. I don't even know what to say anymore. So they escaped it. Now you got to go back it up. But at least for one night, they kind of, I think the way Michael Kay said it on Yes, you know, the victory from the jaws of defeat.
Right.
Because that game looked like twice, two different times, they were losing it. And the guy who he has not had a good season, as we know, for him to come up big, that was enormous for this team. I agree.
And I know that the common thought would be, well, maybe this is the game. This is the catalyst for this team to now take off. Like, you need a game like that to be able to get going. But, you know, before I left for a couple of days off, I was saying that I think that the Yankees had enough time to figure it out. After watching them lose and lose and lose.
And the way
that they were losing. And then also the injuries, the fact that the bullpen is a total mess right now. And this lineup has shown you what they've shown you. And you don't feel great about the rotation outside of Cole and Cortez. I think this team is essentially dead when it comes to winning a championship this year.
They might be. And the problem with even what you said is, as we discussed yesterday, even with Cole and Cortez being good, they still weren't winning. And, you know, I know Cortez gives up the three-run homer, but Cole only gave up the one run, I guess it was the other night. When your offense is anemic like they have been, it's really difficult to think that you're going to string together wins. That said, if you're a glass half full person, That's the only way you can look at it, is that maybe last night does spark them, because you've got a huge series now this weekend. Had they lost last night going into this game tonight with the Blue Jays, there would be full-on panic. All right, they win the game. You settle things down for at least 24 hours. But as great as baseball can be, that you can figure things out 24 hours after a horrendous loss, you can be right back where you were tonight if the Blue Jays go mash and all of a sudden you're down 8-0 in the third inning. I mean, that's how quick it can turn. Or you can take last night and build some momentum towards something, because right now, it's kind of like we said all week. I don't know what they are. I don't know what to expect, and I don't think they do either.
Well, this is the team that we thought we were going to get after the offseason happened. Like, in the first couple of games, if you remember, right in the beginning of the season, they were scuffling, and Yankee fans were going crazy because the Judge contract didn't get done, and then, bang, they took off right away. But the team we're seeing now is sort of the team that we expected to see after last year and then the offseason that they had. So the fact that we kind of had an idea that this team would struggle in certain areas, and it's happening now at the worst time, really makes me think that, you know, they are who we thought they were going to be, which is a team that's just not good enough to compete in the American League, which is what has been the story for them year in and year out in the postseason. Good regular season, make it to the playoffs, win a bunch of games, get beat by a better team. Red Sox, Rays, Astros twice. That's what happens, and that's what's going to happen again. They're going to make it to the playoffs because of this great run that they went on. They'll probably still win the division. If they collapse, it's going to be bigger than any collapse we've ever seen in baseball, right up there. And they're going to get beat by a better team.
You remember, it was 2015 when the Mets went to the World Series. This is what I can't wrap my head around. Mets go to the World Series in 2015, and if I remember correctly, maybe it was 16 when they just went to the playoffs. I might be getting the years confused. But remember, they had a monster 2 weeks or 3 weeks that pretty much carried them for the entire season, where they were able to play like 500 ball, but because they had that big run for a couple of weeks, 3 weeks, whatever it was enough to get them to the promised land, to the postseason. This wasn't a 2 week run. This is what I can't understand. The Yankees were not good. They were dominant for 3 months, like 100 games. They were really amazing. This wasn't a 2 week run. And I guess it's the, I don't know, maybe it's the injuries, I don't know, I'm not sure. But what I can't understand is how you go from 40 games over to 2-11, to 8-17, to not just mediocre, but to bad. Because they went from amazing to bad really quickly. And maybe it comes back, I don't know. Or it's somewhere in the middle, which is, I think, what you're alluding to, that they're a mediocre 500 type team.
Yeah, they're,
I don't know,
slightly above average. I think the reason why they were as good as they were early on was the pitching was, they were pitching above their heads. I mean, I know that Cortez has kept it going. I know Cole has been good. But, you know, Tyone there was as good as anybody, you know, as he's ever been in his career early on in the season. And then Severino was back and was good. And now we haven't seen him for a long time. So, and then Montgomery is no longer here. So I just think that the rotation was way above their heads, and the bullpen was too. I mean, they were relying on Clay Holmes, who in the first half of the season was as dominant as anybody in the game.
And that's a big part of it too. You're absolutely right.
And think about the bullpen now. You know, Aroldis Chapman, they hung on to Aroldis Chapman 1 year too long. So he's making $17 million, I think, this year. And that was one of the things we talked about at the end of last year. If you're looking to clear some salary and you're worried about the luxury tax, this is a guy who's at the end of his career. Trade him. Someone will take a flyer on him and try to figure it out. But he seems like he is completely cooked. Clay Holmes obviously dealing with an injury now, and he was pretty bad prior to that.
Michael King.
Michael King out. I mean, think about it. I mean, it's not like, you know, Efros came in, but he's not going to be the guy that you're going to trust in a...
He might have to be. Like, where else you going?
I mean, Loaisica?
You go basically pitcher by pitcher. You bring up the injuries to the guys in the bullpen, and then what's left?
Nothing. I mean, this is... It's that right there, I think, is one of the more concerning things about when you're trying to project the Yankees forward and thinking, can they turn it around? Give me the path to them turning it around with the bullpen. How does that happen? Clay Holmes comes back and is as dominant as he was in the beginning of the season?
Yeah.
What are the odds of that?
You're not wrong. You're 100% right. And the more you actually reference each pitcher by pitcher and player by player and the injuries, you know, it's a big collection of crap, essentially, and you kind of understand why they've slid a little bit. But the bigger part for me, more so than the bullpen, has been the lack of offense and the fact that they don't score. And, you know, even average and bad Major League Baseball teams score a few runs a game. This team is going through stretches over the last, you know, month where you're putting up no runs, one run, no runs, two runs. And, you know, last night they're being shut out again. I mean, you want to go, someone posted on Twitter and we talked about it too, but, you know, you're into the fifth, sixth inning and they got no runs last night again. Like, how many nights can you just bore your fans? Now, it turned out to be a thrilling win for sure, but it's just inning after inning, a whole bunch of nothing. And that, while the bullpen is clearly an issue and will be going forward, if they can't hit, it doesn't even, you're never going to get to the bullpen where it matters.
And that's been the biggest problem with the Yankees. And I know that everybody wants to refer to the pitching and Brian Cashman's shortcomings and adding to the rotation at key times. That's always a talking point. But the main reasons why they have lost in the postseason is the fact that the offense doesn't show up. And it year in and year out does not show up. And the main example of that was 2017. We talk about it constantly. Absolutely. As a reference point. They couldn't hit.
Right.
Now, I understand that they were facing a team that had, you know, really, really good pitching, and that's what you're going to get in the postseason. You're going to see really, really good pitching for the most part. So if this is happening during the regular season, what's going to happen during the postseason? The same stuff that has happened the last couple of years.
It sure might, and you're right, because while everybody wants to kill the Astros in that year for all the stuff they did, and rightly so, whatever, fine. You're still not going to win if you don't score runs.
Yeah.
That's still the name of the game. They didn't in that series. They haven't in this stretch, and that's kind of where they're at. Now, the good news is, if you want the positive part of this, the news on DJ LeMahieu, positive. Mm-hmm. The news on Giancarlo Stanton, hopefully will be back sooner rather than later. So maybe piece by piece, they kind of get a little more whole, and maybe that does help when they kind of get back to scoring runs and doing the things they were doing earlier. But until then, they've got to kind of muddle through this. And what you got to do this weekend to me is just, you got to go take 2 of 4. You got to split with the Blue Jays, keep it where it's at, and everything to me will work itself out. But I agree, you get to October, good luck.
And I have to go back and look at this to have the facts to back up the point, but I don't know if you agree with me or not, but I feel like both with Judge and Stanton, when they go on the DL or the IL and they come back, both of those guys take a long time to get back into rhythm.
You might be right. I have to check that.
That's what it feels like to me. Like, all right, Giancarlo Stanton, there's a week of him waving that slider is off the plate, you know? And then finally he gets back into it. And same thing with Aaron Judge when he has missed time. He hasn't missed really time this year at all. But with Stanton, it just takes a long time for those guys to come back. So essentially, they're on the IL an extra week, week and a half until they figure it out and turn back into themselves.
Well, not to mention, it also just takes Stanton a long time to come back and play.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, this is now, it's August 19th. If he's going on a rehab assignment soon, maybe the 26th, 27th you see him with the Yankees? You're talking a full month where he's missed for what didn't seem like a big deal. And yet here we are 4 weeks later, and it turns out he's missed a lot of time.
Well, I mean, how many times have we seen that, with the Yankees and Mets? I mean, it's really unbelievable. You know, I mean, I think the Jets learned that with Mekhi Becton to, like, you know, don't open your mouth too much. Because it was like, oh, we have initial reports, we're feeling really good about it. Next thing you know, he is out for the year.
Yeah.
But it seems like, you know, with these baseball teams, this really hasn't happened with the Mets this year. But guys go on the IL, it's like, all right, it's a 2 to 3 week injury, and next thing you know, it ends up being, you know, 2 months. Like Jacob DeGrom last year.
Yeah.
I mean, we were all waiting for him to come back. He never came back. Never saw him. And then there was a dispute about whether or not he tore, you know, his UCL or not, if there was a tear or not at the end of the season where him and Sandy Alderson are going back and forth. I mean, that was a mess. Luckily, the Mets haven't had any of those issues this year. But the Stanton injury, if you correlate, you know, Judge going in a hole, you know, the worst stretch that he has had recently, and Stanton not being there. I mean, that right there is part of the main reason why you're in the situation that you're in.
Yep. And you know what? The Judge thing's funny, too, because when you look at what he's done lately, it's not been a whole lot. I mean, you go back to Friday, really, was the last productive night he's had. But to your point, you look at the lineup you're throwing out there, too. Why would you throw him anything in the middle of the plate? You wouldn't.
Yeah.
And I heard Al on the warm-up show with CeeLo talking about his at-bat with the bases loaded. I personally would like to see him be more aggressive, 100%. And there's two pitches in that at-bat
Well, I mean, the pitch that walked him.
I mean, my God, that is down the middle, knee high. I'd like to see him take a swing, but it's also not down the middle. It's not a mistake pitch, and he's got a good eyes. Whatever, you get the run in, but that's kind of the spot you want him. You want to see him go up there and just mash the ball.
Yeah, I mean, what would you rather have? You know, Aaron Judge swinging on 3-0 in that situation, or Gleyber Torres being the guy who's
I want
up
Aaron
next.
Judge swinging 3-0 exactly. on a pitch that's down the middle knee high.
I know, and I know Gleyber Torres hit a home run last night, but he also grounded to a double play right after that.
Yeah. So, and that's one of those things where you feel like, oh my God, here we go again.
Yeah. I mean, you thought. I mean, if you're someone who didn't stay up through the rain delay, or you gave up after the three runs that the Rays scored in the 10th, I mean, you were just livid with this team.
But well, think about how bizarre the night was, though, and I know we'll get into the Mets, but think about how bizarre the night is. So the Yankees look dead and listless offensively again for much of the night. They come back, they get it to extra innings, and then Tampa right back scores a few. And you got to think, all right, well, you know what, here we go. That's it all. And then they get the big bottom half of the 10th. The Mets who wind up winning, you've got Scherzer on the mound, big lead. You go to Diaz in the 8th with the heart of that lineup, and you're thinking, you know what? And then they get the extra runs. You need tack on runs. Beautiful. And then you're holding your breath in the bottom of the 9th inning, but in the end, wins for both teams, so all is good.
And yes, all is good. I do feel like, though, that the Yankees, this was more of an aberration situation.
You're probably right.
I have to see them, because they were bad longer than they were good last night. And I need to see them really look like themselves from earlier on in the season against the Blue Jays to have any confidence.
The thing that's concerning to me, too, and I know we've done this for, I feel like, several years, and I know it's really the way baseball has gone as well. You feel like the Yankees are, again, a team that's just waiting for that grand slam. They're waiting for that three-run homer, whereas other teams, not only, a lot of teams are a home run or bust, too, these days. But there are teams, like the Mets have generated offense without the home run ball. I think they won how many games without hitting a home run and still scoring a bunch of runs. It seems like the Yankees are just up there waiting for that five-run homer. And it's a tough way to win games. And we had Chipper Jones on the other day. He was even saying, the game is, you know, so different from when he played. It's boring. I mean, the ending's exciting, but my God, if you sit through and have the rain delay, it's boring.
Yeah, there's two things that have happened in professional sports recently that have made the regular seasons tougher to watch than they ever were. One, launch angle in baseball.
I know where you're going with the second one.
And the other one is the three-point shot.
I knew it.
In the NBA.
I agree with you.
And both of those have made these regular seasons at times insufferable. Now, I know that it can be really exciting when Steph Curry and Klay Thompson and the best of the best are doing it, and Aaron Judge is hitting 45 home runs. But the rest of the league trying to do it, it's terrible.
Because you're not good at it.
Yes.
I couldn't agree more. And the three-point shot, never taking away how hard it is and the ability these guys have. But if you're not a good three-point shooting team and you're just hoisting up 30 a game, ugh.
Yeah, and guys not even trying to get rebounds.
Brutal
just
to watch.
Running back. Yeah, I mean, and we've seen it how many times? I mean, it's like, you know, you sit over there, you give some of, you know, the Wizards last night were 3 of 45 from 3.
Yes.
I mean, it's just, how does this happen?
Yeah.
All right, it is Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Just getting started on this Thursday morning. We got CeeLo coming in.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh.